Hey, it's Two Guys in a Garage. I'm Chris, out here in Redding, California. And joining me halfway across the country, it's Hans outside Madison. Hans, how you doing?
Good, Chris. Welcome back from the bye week. Are you rested up after the bye week?
Yeah.
Did we get you healthy?
Yeah, you know, all the soreness, just, you know, I soaked. I just spent time in the tub. No, I'm good. Yeah, I missed it, man. I honestly, if it wasn't for the Badgers having a game, I would have felt football deprived. I think I even watched other games.
Oh,
so
really? Yeah, I was with Aaron Rodgers. We were at an undisclosed location on the bye week. That's kind of our tradition.
Nice.
So I'm just getting back. But yeah, I felt really good after that bye week, going into week four.
Hey, are you drinking beer? Did we get this settled?
Am I drinking beer? That is our tradition, my friend. Yes,
I
am drinking beer. And you know what? Thanks for asking. I've got a story behind this one. As a lot of you guys know, I used to do tree work professionally. And here in Oregon, we had a couple trees that really needed some work. The neighbor needed a tree down. So I took it down Sunday morning with him, and then he bought me a beer. And he said, he bought me a six-pack. He's like, what do you want? I said, anything Oktoberfest. Yeah. So he goes, gets me Octillion. Have you heard of Octillion?
Who makes Octillion? Is that the brand?
That's their Oktoberfest made by Ale Asylum.
I love Ale Asylum. I miss Ale Asylum.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if you like... And I really like Oktoberfest beers. This is by far the best Oktoberfest I've ever had. So Octillion Oktoberfest,
thank you,
Brent, here in Oregon, my neighbor. He got me on some real sweet juice. Are you drinking beer?
I am today. And the reason why is because our good friends Liz and John Buttrell came through. Yes. Liz and John.
Good friends from Blackhawk.
They came through on their move from Los Angeles to Portland and absolutely gave us a great catch-up night of conversation and dinner, and in the process saved their last spotted cow to give to their Wisconsin buddy, me. So I have it. I'm not drinking much, but I am sipping, and that makes me feel like myself.
Oh, good to hear. Good story. Good story for both of the beers this week. I am glad once again to share this beer with you, my friend.
So we have something to cheer, you know, cheer and to say cheers for in the last victory. We've got some probing questions, discussion topics, because the Packers are 3-1. That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
The Vikings are 5-0.
That's a challenging
thing. Totally. And the Dallas Cowboys are next. So,
holy cow.
And
you know, what, Chris? Hey, sorry to interrupt. Even look ahead past that, but you know who else is on our schedule that's looking tough is Atlanta.
Yes.
Philly has been looking tough. All of a sudden, we've got some. This is really evening it out. I remember at the beginning of the season when the Vikings lost their quarterback, and all of a sudden we were favored in 14 of the games, and then all of a sudden we were favored in like 16 of the games, and I was a little bit naive, and I thought we were going to roll, and we've got some challenges as we're going to discuss.
Yeah. Well, let's lob some questions back and forth. I know you've got some good ones. Do you want to start?
I can.
Go ahead.
So we won't recap the Giants game. You know, if I were to summarize that Giants game, I would say this. The Packers were playing a clearly inferior team. Eli Manning couldn't do anything. Aaron Rodgers, especially in the first series, looked fantastic. And I thought they're going to put these guys away, and they never put them away. And I thought, okay, this Giants team is not good, and we can't close them out at home off a bye week. So that made me concerned. And so that was kind of my summary of the thing. So then, you know, I got to Monday morning and I just started thinking to talking with clients, how do you view this team? And I just, you know, they're four games in. So this is kind of the quarter mark, right? Four games in, 12 games to go.
You know,
I don't like where they are. I don't like what they've established. Eddie Lacy was looking good, but he still only ran for 80 yards. The runs looked really good. I'm surprised he didn't go for 120. Jordy Nelson looks at about 80%. We should talk about that. And I just want, you know, and like you said, Chris, the Vikings are at 5-0. They're clearly the team to beat right now. And I'm just not happy with where we're at, but I do feel like we have more of an upside. How do you see the Packers as far as are you happy with where they're at 4 weeks in, 12 weeks to go?
Yeah, you know, here's what I like. Eddie Lacy, just to touch on a couple of things you said, Eddie Lacy had a pretty phenomenal average. I thought it was around 7.
He was 10 for 80, and then he ran another one for, I guess, 1. So about 11 for 81. I think he had a 37-yarder in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So something like that.
Yeah, so, and he went out in the third quarter and didn't return. So in terms of why he didn't cross 100 or get 120.
Good point.
I mean, yeah. And that's a bummer because, you know, he hurt his ankle, is what I understand, and he might not be ready for Dallas, which could leave us with James Starks, something to talk about. Am I happy with where the Packers are at? Here's what I am happy with. I'm very happy with the way the O-line's coalesced. His time against the Giants, which was not a phenomenal pass rush, although they've got whatever his name, Vernon, and Jason Pierre-Paul, yep, sans the fingers that he's missing. Bless him. You know, I was trying to explain to my family why he wasn't, you know, like, yeah. Yep. I was defending his honor in the midst of the story. Anyway, I like where the running game has gone with Eddie Lacy over the course of the season so far. I don't remember what they're averaging per game, but I think what I loved against the Giants, and I think the Giants, like you said, do represent a normal football team, not a good one, because they didn't even look on the up. Like, they definitely, this would be a team that the way they played against the Packers, it wouldn't make the playoffs.
Right.
You know, or if they would, it'd be because they played in a weak division. Like, that's the kind of team that they played.
Yep.
I thought the Giants definitely underperformed and missed opportunities, especially their tight end on that wide open pass that he surely could have hauled in.
Right.
I think the Packers, injury-wise, it's a bit troubling to have the DBs out. So, you know, that's a concern. I think the offense only has upside to me. What do you think? I think the offense is getting better every game.
Do you think that? Why didn't they finish? No, not at all. I mean, Aaron is missing throws. I mean, his two interceptions, the one off Nelson's hands, you know, you can't get him on that one. But the other one, I mean, the same guy then picked him off again. I don't understand that at all. He's scrambling more, which I like, so he's good on his feet. Did you see some of the stats about him outside of the pocket?
Yeah.
And that was
unreal.
That's unreal. I really like that.
Yeah, if anybody didn't see them, the stats essentially were whatever they were, but all of them were like most in history, most in NFL history when it comes to somebody getting yards, getting touchdowns, getting out of the pocket effectively as a quarterback.
And, you know, I would like to I'm going to say this on record, and we'll see if I follow up. I'm going to take a little note.
Yes.
I would like to see what the stats are as far as how much people are blitzing him. I wonder what the defenses are doing. You know, they have the off season to prepare each and every week. I mean, they only have 1 week essentially to prepare for their opponent. But, you know, they spend a lot of off season time saying, if Aaron Rodgers is on our schedule, how are we going to try to attack him? And I wonder what teams are doing and how that affects him. But on the flip side, like you said, or like I said, he's running better. That's good. He connected with Randall Cobb in wonderful ways, but they're not using the tight ends. Cook is out. Is that his name?
Yeah. Sorry. Yep.
So,
Cook is out.
So Cook is out.
It's a problem.
They're not using the tight ends. 18, Cobb's looking good. Jordy was not a factor. I think he's at 80%. I don't think he trusts that knee. It was nice in that first game where he made that catch, lowered his shoulder, and tried to run into the guy. But that's a practice drill. That's a bump. Get out of bounds. I mean, I don't know where he's at, but he was not a factor at all.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do you really think it's the knee?
What else would it be?
You know, I just thought it was. Well, I didn't know, but I hadn't even considered the knee. Rust would be what I would think it is. He didn't play in the preseason. Effectively, the beginning of the season was his preseason, and then he had a bye, and I hadn't thought of that until just now. But he had, you know, preseason is effectively for starters kind of two games, right? Like they might play a half in game three, unless they're playing five preseason in their second to last game. They'll play a half. And then they'll play kind of another half's worth over the course of the rest of the games.
Yeah.
And he didn't have the reps, and he wasn't practicing along with the team either, which I thought was kind of goofy. I mean, I know that he ran routes, but that's not the same. I think he was running routes against air was what I kept hearing. So, no, I think that he's warming up. And I think even though, like, I just count on muscle memory to kick in the longer he's out there. And but my theory is contingent on, or it weighs heavily on the idea that they just got started. He was just starting to get going, and then they had a bye week, and maybe that affected him.
Yeah. I'd give you that. I think there is something, you know, potentially there. And admittedly, I wasn't watching the game enough. I haven't seen the all 22 film to see how he's running routes and how open or not he is. I should have his stats in front of me. I don't, but I just would like to see what his stats are, how many times he's being targeted, and how many catches he's making, and I guess even more importantly, why he's not catching the ball. Is he covered, or is it, you know, errors? But like I said on Facebook that night, I mean, when I posted it, I said I count two errors. By the time my friends were responding to it, he had four drops already. And so at least two, upwards of four drops on the night. And that's not, I don't know. I don't know what to chalk that up to. But, you know, back to my question. Yeah, I'm not really happy with where the offense is at. I'm not seeing progressions. I'm just not having confidence. And this is a good game. You know, like I said, Chris, that first drive, I mean, 16, 18 plays, something like that. They almost went the length of the field. And then they never really got back into that rhythm. And I don't understand why. I don't pay attention enough to the packages coming in and out and Aaron rushing things. You know, actually, that one time, remember when he was on the goal line, the touchdown that got taken away because our guys weren't getting set?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
That really bothers me because that's kind of a rookie mistake. I mean, that's Aaron being that good. But, I mean, if you're that good, you know, you can't rush it. He's too good to rush something like that.
I want you to finish. You were finishing.
No, that was it. I mean, I think he's too good. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think, well, on that play, Davante Adams took a step back at the last second. It looked like he made either a realization kind of adjustment that he had to be off the line because he was on the line and he took a step back just before Aaron hiked the ball. So either it was a Davante Adams mistake or when you rush a play, it's a chance you take. I mean, in some ways, it's pretty amazing that they weren't doing that. I think, you know, interesting is they're not playing hurry up. I heard Chris Collinsworth say that a bunch of times at the beginning of the game, he said, wait a second. He's like, the Packers tend to, under McCarthy, like to come out and do no huddle, but they're not no huddling. And Collinsworth was wondering, with the injuries on defense, if the Packers weren't trying to keep Eli Manning off the field.
Yeah.
Which, that was an early in the game comment, but it was an interesting one. It was true. So anyway, that again is, could be a reps that's like, well, if they're out of practice. You know, related though, Davante Adams, just a sideline, wasn't he? I just think that he looked promising. I think that this is the season that I think he hoped to have last year. I don't know. I don't see in Davante a desire to be a number one guy. Or maybe he just knows that he's not on this team, so he's not trying to be. But I do see this looks like the season I thought he would have had last year had Jordy not been injured. Looks like a professional. Looks like he's got height and athleticism and runs some pretty nice routes. Did you notice him?
Yeah, I did. I still don't know where to peg him, though. Sorry to sound like the 40-year-old man that I almost am, but I just, you know, when he catches the ball and just he's really dramatic every time he catches the ball, and I guess I wish a few more times he would just catch the ball like he's supposed to and then go back to the huddle. And I know that sounds
You are hilarious.
I know I'm old manish, but I mean I feel like we're going to either feast or famine with that guy. Either he's going to go off and he's going to be like a really nice spark plug, or he's going to be kind of non-existent, which means I put him at a number three. I think you've got a Jordy Nelson, probably a Randall Cobb as number two, and you know a Davante Adams as a three that you hope he has a couple games where you know he leads the team in touchdowns or third down conversions or some kind of spark like that. But consistency wise, he's not there. Improving, yeah, I'll for sure give you that. I'm glad he's on the team. I just don't know where he's at in Aaron's progressions. And like I said, for me, he'd be a solid number three, which makes sense because, you know, Jordy's going to be your number one. You look at Randall Cobb, I don't know the numbers, but, I mean, he was getting the ball all the time on Sunday. And so, you know, again, that puts Adams at three. But, again, if he's my number three, I'm really happy about that, other than the fact that it means 84 is not on the field.
Yeah, let me ask you this question. I'm going to respond first, and I want you to think about it. You don't have to listen to me as much as think of your own answer.
No, I'm going to listen to you, though. I do.
Well, that's okay. They're one of the local sports talk shows in Wisconsin today was asking for strengths and weaknesses of the Packers. And my weakness, because I said the O-line and the D-line were amazing strengths, especially in the Giants game, but have looked really good or strong or getting stronger every week, I've thought. The weakness, though, is the one that has bothered me in the McCarthy-Rogers era. And I'm starting to wonder if it's fair to call it a Rogers problem, but it's the lack of finish, the lack of put-away that these guys have against their opponents. The fact that they can score 30 points and how many times in Packers-McCarthy-era football it's been a lot more times than I kept thinking it needed to be that the defense can't keep the guys from scoring or coming back, and that offense doesn't continue to score points. Now, granted this, just saying that out loud helps me to realize that I am spoiled, our favorite word on this podcast over the years,
yep,
having an offense that is prolific and that I can expect to score 30 points. I mean, I don't know how many NFL teams fans get to do that. I'm so in my myopic, I'm a Packers watcher, and I don't watch other guys consistently enough to know how many points they score. I guess the Patriots would be the other 30-point team over the years.
Yep.
But I do – my assertion on our podcast has been and continues to be that I wonder if there's not a lack of emotional, spiritual leadership. And maybe it's on the defense, but maybe too – and this has been my theory that I don't think that the – I don't think McCarthy – I don't think that's one of his strengths. I think – and I don't know that either. I really don't. But I don't see. I almost wanted to say a Mike Tomlin-esque, a Bill Cowher. And I don't know why I picked two Steelers guys, but even Pete Carroll, who's not. You know, it's a different kind of emotion. I'm looking for somebody to say, "Hey, I'm looking for the tip of the spear." Emotionally, you know, spiritually speaking, for a team that I just don't see has one. And yeah. Rodgers isn't that either. Like, his strength is calm and cool and confident, which on that same program, I'm listening to one of his former offensive linemen say that's what he brings to the table. Oh, no, it wasn't it. It was John Kuhn. John Kuhn, who played, as John said, with Ben Roethlisberger, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and now Drew Brees down in New Orleans. And John Kuhn said about, in comparing Aaron Rodgers with Drew Brees, the immediate comparison that he had was difference was Drew Brees is all business and super super focused when the moment he steps on the field. He's like A-Rod, that's not what comes across. A-Rod's composure is relaxed and confident, and that seems reasonable. I just don't think that it gets other guys inspired. That's what I'd say. I don't have a cheerleader on the team. I don't have a cheerleader leader especially. Or I'm wondering, I'd love to know your answer to that question and then to leave my point alone because we don't need to make it a focus. But it's the one I keep harping on. Where is the cheerleader? Who's the guy that they look to that's the emotional fireplace for this team, the furnace?
I think it definitely starts at the quarterback, which everybody knows, and I think you go with the leader that you have, and if that's Aaron's personality, I don't think you're going to get anybody else. I can't think of, gosh, the offensive line is always such a mystery of guys. We don't know them as well because they don't get interviewed as much. But I don't see any person. I think everybody falls in line with Aaron. So as Aaron goes, so goes the team. And if that's his style of leadership, I think that's what we're going to get. Like we've talked about before, defensive side of the ball is a different story. There's more personalities. There's more characters. There's just more. There's more action on that other side of the ball, which usually there is for a defense. So I think Aaron's our leader, and that's who we're going to – I think that's what we can expect.
Yeah, you know, here's an interesting – because part of the two halves of my ridiculous complaint against the Packers and not putting teams away or, like, scoring 50 points on them and not allowing them to score 12, because that's pretty much what I feel like I'm complaining against.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the change in the middle linebacker position and the role difference in the league now. Thinking of the fact that the Packers have had crazy turnover at that position, and you realize that historically that guy, the guy who's calling the shots for the entire, this is what we're doing every down in the defense, he has a chance to be a voice. He has a chance to be an anchor and a cornerstone. He has a chance to... Like, Ray Lewis, no matter what other things he was a phenomenal leader on the field. Mike Singletary had that also.
Right.
Brian Urlacher, it was the, I'm going to give more than you, so I have the right to ask you to give more than you just gave. And I'm going to hold you accountable. It, like, that kind of attitude that says, there is, you are not doing anything but giving everything and more than what you think you can give on this next play, because you're going to want it as bad as I will. Like, it's this contagious, I want it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're years away from that, though, Chris, because that, you know, the guys you just mentioned are probably future Hall of Famers, and we don't have that at middle linebacker. Maybe the potential is there, but Jake Ryan and Blake Martinez are, what, first and second, maybe third-year guys. They don't have that clout yet. If that's the case, I think we're a couple of seasons away from that happening. But so far, from what I've seen, they're doing their job really well. And so we can still lean on the Julius Peppers, obviously Clay Matthews, and defensive line for that right now. But
yeah, no, I hear your point. Blake Martinez does give me a little bit of hope. He's a bit emotional. He is a little bit of the, I'm going to celebrate after a tackle guy, which, you know, like AJ Hawk was not that guy.
Right.
Like AJ Hawk was terribly consistent. You know, we've talked about that before.
Yep.
So, okay. That was my question. What do you got
to that?
If you have another question, otherwise I'm going to ask you more.
I'm curious of where the team is at. I think about, you know, from individual personalities, one of the things that came out to me too is, what do you think of James Starks as a backup? Because I had some concerns about him.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't think he's had the reps so far this season to know what he's bringing to the table, but he looks the way that he always looks to me, where it's like, you don't know what you're going to get, but he, outside of fumbling more than you want him to, I mean, for real, like, I think he's a good back. I think in NFL land that there are many backs that, if I just wanted guys to not let the football drop on, like, I guess I'm thinking, who would I rather have? I'd rather have Darren Sproles. Like, he would be my ideal number two back. Like, give me a guy that Rodgers can drop a screen to, you know, that can lay down a great third down block, but it's got speed and is shifty and it's not going to drop the ball, you know. But that said, James Starks is shifty. James Starks runs weird. And it's hilarious to watch him run.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to watch people miss him, because he really does. I feel like his upper and lower parts of his body are, like,
doing different
twisting
things.
In odd ways.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope he just comes into his own. I just remember the last couple of seasons, he's shown signs of, like, you know, a legitimate number one on some of the other teams in the NFL. And lately, I just haven't been impressed, and it makes me more concerned with Eddie Lacy having potentially a bum ankle. But the good thing about James is that he's experienced, and so if they call on him, and I bet this week for sure he's taking reps even a little bit more seriously, because there's a good chance he could get even more playing time. I'm just seeing all those times when Aaron and he were not connecting, and just a lot of kind of anger, you know, of either from him or Aaron for not getting him the ball. And so that makes me concerned from an individual standpoint. The other side of the ball, Chris, you know, when you look at this team, that,
yeah,
you know, I still didn't like giving up even 16 points to the Giants or that kind of a team. Eli played like crap, but the defense,
yeah.
It's kind of like my Badger team. If they can keep us in the game, I still trust that Aaron can put 20 plus on the board each and every game. And we haven't given up a 50-yard rusher all season.
No.
We still have DBs that need to come back and get healthy. We have very young middle linebackers, and we're hardly ever playing Julius Peppers. And there's a reason for that. We're getting Mike Purnell back. He was on a 4-game suspension.
Yeah.
Our defense is it's kind of like 96. I mean, you know, they're the stars,
yeah,
of this team right now.
Yeah, you know, for that matter too, it's those matchups when the Packers play good teams in the future, where I think that as much as the offense gets the publicity and it's all flashy, I think a real football fan of one type is going to be looking to see it. It'll be an exciting test of the defense every week to go, how do they do against these guys? How do they do against these guys?
Well, and let's talk specifics. I'm going to switch it up on you and just cut you off. Hey,
yeah,
the number one rushing defense, the Dallas Cowboys, and Ezekiel Elliott from the Ohio State University are coming. what do you think? Are we going to be able to stop? What's going to happen when they collide with the Packers defense?
Yeah, it's a good thing it's at Lambeau Field. But I do think that defense has the – I think the Packers defense, in my imagination, because I haven't watched the Cowboys this year outside of some highlights here and there, I think the Packers defense has the advantage being at home, and two, being more veteran, like on the D-line, at the run-stopping point, because the run-stoppers aren't primarily the linebackers. The linebackers are the second, you know, they're the second line of defense, truly. And I think that I think Dom Capers' scheme has looked really good with the players that we have. So, yeah, I think the Packers have the advantage there. For sure. And two, Dak Prescott, if that's his last name, if I have it right, is he's looked really good, but he's still a rookie. So I think the Packers defense and a veteran coordinator like Dom Capers is – I don't think that they're intimidated. I think that they're probably – I know I'm excited. That's what I'd say. I'm excited to see what the defense can do against them. And that said, I totally admit that a rookie running back is a potentially dangerous thing, because he's all fresh in every way. So
right.
What do you think?
I think it's going to be fantastic football to watch. Unfortunately, I have life group on Sunday afternoon, so this is one where I'm like, I'm going to have to miss the game, so I'm going to have to find other ways. I haven't decided if I'm going to try to go all black as far as, like, not listen to anything and try to catch the game later.
So hard to do that.
Oh, well, I'm actually pretty good at it. I know.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I cut people off right away. I'm like, hey, I haven't heard it. Like, I don't want to talk about it. I'll just be kind of a jerk. Like, I know you guys want to talk about it, but not right now. I'll go somewhere else. You're not talking about that here. So I haven't figured out my approach yet for that, so we may have to talk about ways to watch the game afterwards. So what's going to happen? I hope we hold him under 100, and I hope that we get under Prescott's skin in a bad way, in a really really bad way, because that's exactly what you need. You need that crowd to get behind you. They're pros; they're not going to be intimidated, but we need to use that sound as an advantage. And I hope that we can keep them under, I'm going to even say 24. They're a good team. I hope we can keep them under 24 and then score 27 ourselves.
You know, that's, it's always hard for me when the opponents hit 20. Like, I love it when two is never at any point in time in the game a part of their score. Like, I feel better, especially at home. I was wondering who the Cowboys had played and if they'd faced somebody with a good rush, because I think that's been a big strength of the Packers, too. You remember even the Minnesota game where they lost, they absolutely pancaked and beat the they beat Oklahoma right out of that quarterback. What's his name?
Dak Prescott?
For the Vikings.
Oh.
No, for the Vikings. Bradford.
Yeah.
It took me a bit to remember his name.
I'm one step ahead of you, Chris. So who have the Cowboys played? So they're the number one rushing offense coming in.
Who have they played
in the season? They lost in week one to the New York Giants.
Oh, did they really?
They lost 20-19. It looks like at home they lost. So they started 0-1. They beat the Redskins by 4. They beat the Bears. They walloped up on the Bears. Who doesn't wallop on the Bears? And they went to San Francisco, and they won by a touchdown against San Francisco. And then they played the Bengals this week at home, and they won. They doubled them up 28-14. So none of those teams, I don't know if they beat a playoff team. So maybe, you know, maybe this will be maybe this is just kind of preseason stuff and all stats.
Yeah,
that
it's a big test
better
for
about
the
Cowboys, by the way.
Yeah, no, I'm with you too. It hits me that they probably lost that first game to the Giants. And the Giants, well, who knows if the Giants are a better team than the one that we faced? But the Giants had their corners, because I heard that their corners were injured against the Packers.
Yep.
Was Romo playing, or did Dak Prescott or Dak, whatever his name is, start the season, who I hear good things about? I'm kind of excited to watch him, but I'd be more excited to see the Packers sack him.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, let's talk about this philosophical, because this is one of the questions going around NFL podcasts and things like that we listen to, right? So whenever, I'm not saying, I don't think Tony Romo's coming back this week, but Dak Prescott is looking really good for a rookie. If he keeps winning, and I'm not necessarily saying this week, but I mean, if in general the trend is that he is winning, when Romo comes back, do you start Romo or do you keep Prescott going?
Gosh, no clue how to answer that question. Dallas is such a weird place because I'm not really sure who's making that decision. It's not I don't know that it's ever a bad thing to let your veteran quarterback back with the team.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're rolling, but it's just pretty much it's accepted practice that the starter gets the job back. It's been that way in so many situations. And Romo, too, doesn't have that many seasons left. I don't mean that you honor the guy that way as the reason to do it. Yeah.
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 No, I get it.
I'd be surprised if he's a Cowboy past one more year, especially given the performance of this guy.
Yeah.
What do you think, though?
I know Jerry Jones has said Tony Romo's our guy, so I think Romo gets his job back. I don't know if he's on a short leash. I don't know enough about Dallas, but yeah, I think he gets the job back. You know, he was a fourth round pick. I mean, if he was a first or a second, if he was a no brainer, like this is, you know, the future of our team, that's a different story. But he was a fourth round pick. He's a rookie, so yeah, I think Tony Romo gets the start. He just gets beat up a lot, even though he's a Wisconsin guy. I just know nationally he gets beat up a lot in the press, and so it's a question worth asking. But
yeah, he's got his fans too, though, in the press. He's definitely got his respect.
Yeah.
It goes both ways. What about this, though? And maybe it's one of our last questions this week. But we talked about how good are the Vikings? Have they peaked? Is this the maximum? Are they going to get better, and if so, how? And then how does that compare with the Packers? And have they peaked? Yeah. Where are they going to get better? Tell me your opinion.
I have not looked ahead to the Vikings' schedule, but 5-0 is no accident. From the way Bradford handled the Packers on, like, you know, 2.5 days of practice or whatever it was. I mean, they're a threat. It's a big asterisk without AP, but you know, this is not a one man star league. You know, they're a really, really good team. But like, you know, like I was telling you before, you know, as we were prepping for this show, I still believe, and I hope this isn't the homer me, I still believe that the Packers' upside is better than the Vikings. So, yeah, they're a couple games up on us. We get them again. And we have a challenging schedule in front of us. I'm not scared to play them. I'm not scared to go there again and play them if we were to have to do that in the playoffs. So I think we have the better upside. And who knows? I don't mean to say, you know, I don't mean to use this as an excuse or as a cliche, but I just hope that, how do I say this? I guess part of me is just happy that we're where we're at rather than 5-0, because I think this team especially needs a little bit of fire underneath their backsides to keep them going. They don't need to be favored in every game. They don't need to be 5-0 and, you know, just on cruise control. They need Philly on their schedule. They need Dallas coming to town. They need to be taking on the number one number one rushing offense in the league. That they need that. So I think we have a better upside than the Vikings, but it's really hard. It's kind of tail between my legs saying, okay, the Vikings are the team right now to beat. That's a hard pill for me to swallow, but I thought about you, my friend, because you're right. That's our rivalry over the last, you know, 5, even 10 years. It's not the Bears, unfortunately. It's Minnesota.
It definitely is. I think the one point I definitely differ with is I don't have the confidence about the Packers going into the Vikings stadium right now. But that's probably because Sam Bradford has looked like a stud and the defense is shutting the entire NFL down.
Yeah.
So, you know, that said, the Packers have a great defense themselves. I think, though, that when push came to shove, that version of the Packers offense was not better than that version of the Vikings defense on that Sunday 2 weeks ago. So that's probably where my opinion's coming from, as I go, you know what, we've seen them and both defenses are really good. The Packers defense played amazing. Sam Bradford just played lights out. And I guess that's probably the reality is here's what I do agree with you with. I think the Packers have a huge upside still. I don't think the offensive receivers with Rodgers have had the reps and the timing. Plus they've got more receivers. You know, maybe there's an argument to be said about the Packers' running game, especially if an injured Eddie Lacy isn't going to be as strong, and the fact that they already used their bye week could, you know, be a problem down the line.
Right.
So I guess that's probably a bigger deal in my mind. But, and I say that, too, to say, you know why part of that is a problem in my mind is because the Packers don't scheme around their personnel very much. Like, that's what last season showed us. Is that a Mike McCarthy-led team doesn't like to adjust its scheme, and that was probably the biggest criticism of him last year by a bunch of people was, wait a second, since you don't have Jordy Nelson, aren't these guys all NFL receivers? Can't you be a normal NFL team, you know, like everybody else and, like, adjust?
Yeah.
You know, but that's just not what I hear his system is, so.
Well, but I would – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I think the Packers will get better in their connection between A-Rod and the receivers. I think Rodgers is going to get better as the year continues. I really do. Maybe it's a hope or maybe just the idea that I've seen them look amazing in the past, or I have my memory makes me think that they were unstoppable back in the day at times. And so that became the floor of my expectations.
Yeah. But I've also had seasons where I've looked at week, you know, 13, 14, even 15 and said, they are peaking at the right times. And I remember looking back to week 6 and 7 and saying, oh my gosh, what are we doing? And then you get to the end and you say, this is the team I want going into the playoffs. Bring me whoever you want. We're in a rhythm. So I feel better the way. Hey, I'm gonna throw another question at us before we close shop. This is not an original question. I heard this on one of the shows, but it leads into a point that I wanted to make. And I'm gonna go first because you're gonna be a more positive answer than I am. Okay. How's that? So here's the question. If you saw Aaron Rodgers on the street, okay, you go to Green Bay, you go to Piggly Wiggly, you're down the pasta aisle, and you're like, holy crap, he's shorter than I thought. That's Aaron Rodgers, right?
Oh my gosh.
Don't say that, by the way. You know that, right?
No, but you're a good storyteller. I like this.
So you go down and you see Aaron Rodgers. What would you say to him? Don't answer that because I get to go first. What would you say to Aaron Rodgers if you saw him out in the wild? Here's what I'd say, Chris, because this really bugged me this week. And it goes back to what you talked about, and I forgot to bring it up. How is the leadership of this team? And I would say this. Aaron, I know you're not going to like me for this, and you're probably going to walk away, but be a leader on the field. Don't be Jay Cutler. Lead with example, and I'm being too wordy here, but you know when he threw that interception and that guy lit him up. Did you see that? So Aaron Rodgers throws an interception. He makes a move to the sideline, and the ball I believe was pretty far downfield, but. If you give yourself up, the defense can't come out and block you. But, I mean, he was moving. He was putting himself, not aggressively, but he was putting his body in front of that runner. And if he got to him, I believe he was going to make a play on him. So the guy blocked him. Aaron was dropping F-bombs. He was mad. And they ended up giving the guy a penalty for roughing the QB. And that really bugs me. I don't know if I'm in the minority. I really don't care. But my point is, all pro quarterbacks don't do that. On a legitimate call, on a legitimate rough in the passer, I get it. But if I look at the rules, and even Collinsworth said, that's not really in the rules, but I'm sure there's a little bit of nuances, was his word. There's nuances there, meaning star quarterbacks are going to get the call. That one really bugged me. And I know those players are going to defend him, no, whether he's right or whether he's wrong, but as a fan, I want more toughness. Brett Favre would not have, first of all, he would not have got blocked like that. Second off, he wouldn't have been complaining looking for a flag. So anyway, what would you say to Brett Favre? What would you say to Aaron Rodgers if you saw him at the pasta aisle of Piggly Wiggly in Green Bay?
Yeah, you know, if I saw him, it'd be different than the answer I think I'd like to give. Because the answer I want to give is the one that says, if I could change Aaron Rodgers in any way that I want to, what would I change? Because I just don't talk that freely with people, nor have I heard that criticism and critique, especially by strangers, ends up being the best. Although sometimes you do just need to hear
it. Which is why he would probably, you know, roll his eyes and run away from me, which makes sense, and I get it. But play along with my game. You see Aaron Rodgers, what are you going to say to him?
Right. Well, okay. No, I'm going to answer mine first just because I was concocting an answer. No, this is why. If I had to do yours, I don't know. I'm like, wait a second. Let me try to do yours. Aaron Rodgers appears in front of me. I'd be like...
pasta aisle.
I know, pasta aisle.
Don't ask him
about
food.
Wait, pasta aisle.
Don't ask. That's just part of the story. Don't ask him about food. Come on.
No, can I be real? My first thought is I'd be like... Do you have any beer recommendations? Like, what do you know about that I don't know about? I'm in the grocery store. I'm serious. I think that's where my mind would go.
Beer.
And, well, I'm saying, yeah, yes. That's what I would say. Here, I want to answer your question.
All right. You just did.
And it is this. Yeah, if I could change him in a way that I would see a noticeable difference, it would be I too would address his the way that he comports himself, but I think I would love for him to be the inspirational leader. Like, I feel like I'd take something out of Reggie White or even Charles Woodson and I would put it inside him. I would love for him to be I feel like I'm trying to make the perfect quarterback because a piece of me wants him to be more playful, but I never liked this about Eli Manning or Peyton Manning either. I never understood the super negative response. I mean, I shouldn't say that. Of course you understand why, you know, like they're excellence driven. They're super talented. I'm upset that I missed. I'm upset that, I mean, in Rodgers' case, he's often upset that somebody else missed, which I'm with you. I don't really know if showing it the way that he does is effective leadership. Like, it kind of feels like it's Lombardi in the quarterback helmet. And I'm like, I just don't know. I have a hard time believing that that's the most effective style of leadership, or that most guys respond best to that. In fact, it's hard for me to imagine that that's true.
Right.
You know, that said, I think I'd want a guy who is differently composed than that. I mean, a piece of me wants to watch. I'm like, is Drew Brees like that? Is he the guy that, like, he's never going to put it on his receivers? He's always going to put it on himself. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I know Brady's had that in the past. I know a bunch of guys that do it. I just, when it's my guy, I see it a lot. And frankly, the guys that know me, the guys that have played with me, I mean, I'm kind of pointing figures here. I'm you know, a little bit or a lot of bit hypocritical, because I do a lot of that on the field, but I know that it's immature. I know I'm not playing at a high level, and I'm not Aaron Rodgers. So I'm kind of asking for something I haven't been able to demonstrate. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But
yeah.
I see it and I think, that's not how I want to see our Packers quarterbacks behaving. And so I thought it was a fun question, because apparently he says he goes to Piggly Wiggly. I don't know if he does it during the season or not, but it would be fun. And it is a question. You know what? You always need to be ready to go. So I would get, you know, a stern glare, and you would get a six-pack recommendation probably.
I totally would, because it hits me
and
too.
And I bet, you know what, actually, I'm going to tell you what he would say. He'd say, you know what,
all right,
the best beer is out in California, but for what they got here at the Pig, and he'll give you a nice local beer. But what he'll say with a caveat,
what?
That's what he'll
stop
do.
The world.
That's
no way.
Do.
Well, that's an interesting idea. This is what, it's a good question to end with. I just want to keep talking, because there's a lot in that question, the one you just gave.
You want to go all therapy. You want to be like, hey, man, you want to go with some coffee?
I do.
I got to help you, bud.
No. I'd be thinking, I want to know, like, if I see you face to face.
Help me. Help
yes.
you.
No.
Help me.
No.
Help you.
No.
You're going Jerry Maguire on Aaron Rodgers right there in the pit.
Right. I wouldn't. Well, although maybe I'd want, that might be my response. I want the backstory. I'm like, tell me, if I could know, I'd be like, I want context. I'm like, describe the locker room. Tell me what it's like for you.
Ooh, that's getting
to
good.
Be Aaron Rodgers inside the Packer organization. Do you have friends? You know, like,
do people,
I mean,
like
for
you?
Real. Well, yeah. Do you feel like, does that bother you? What was life like 10 years ago?
That's good.
I mean, because he get, like, the early stories with Rodgers when Favre was quarterback, he had years.
Yeah.
Years
yeah.
to be super talented, waiting in the wings.
And anonymous.
Ultra competitive. Yeah. And anonymous.
That's a good three-part question. What's it like going from, you know, Chico, California to...
Right. Unrecruited.
To you know, second behind Brett Favre and anonymous in Green Bay, to literally being the most revered athlete in the state for Packer Nation across the country. That's a good three-part question. I like where you're going with that. You got
it. Would be amazing. It would be amazing. I want to know. Yep, we could ask him about his parents.
Nah. No,
yes.
No.
Of
keep
course you have
out.
To.
He is so against
By,
family with his brother no. doing that bachelorette thing. He's not talking family
oh, I
at
said,
all. You don't go family.
Oh, you're funny. I would. Well, I live in the town. Somebody did. It was the Kevin Seifert, the ESPN reporter for the NFC North. He did an sit-down interview with Rodgers where he was asking him to remember plays from his history.
Oh, thank
and
you.
Some of the. It's on. It's a great article. You'd love it. Just look it up on ESPN.com. It's somewhere. It was about a month ago. He sat down with him preseason and just shot out. He said, he's like, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw out some plays to you from your past, and I want you to tell me what you remember. And just the level of detail that he remembers them at. But two of the plays, I think, take place like a mile and a half from where I am recording this right now.
Oh,
like they were in this city. And I'm just telling you, like, a guy who's been compared to every other great quarterback who's, you know, in his heyday,
yeah,
people wondered, would he be the best ever?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a real, I don't know what you do with that, but that dude was playing in Redding, California at a stadium that's not very big. So.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a really this is the next podcast when we get fully funded. It's going to be called The Couch, and we're going to play psychiatrist or psychologist with people that either come on, or if they don't come on, we pretend that they're on and we tell each other what we think their answers are.
That's a lot of pretending, Chris.
I know, but it could be fascinating. Okay. Hey, that was a good episode.
Agreed.
I liked it.
Agreed.
Thanks for joining us today. Hey, I wanted to do a quick shout out to our sole sponsor for this year to this point is my father, Elliot Polash. The reason why I'm mentioning him is because Elliot Polash is the author of two ebooks, and one of them is one you might be interested in reading or giving to a relative. If you have anybody that's interested in the Advent season, yes, I'm talking Christmas already. Advent starts around Thanksgiving and goes into the first week of January, and it's a way to slow that season down. So if you are looking for a way to be present and to think about something other than how many miles you have to drive to visit all the relatives or any of the other things that you might be annoyed by, this is a phenomenal thing to do. One more book. And I am hilariously forgetting the title of the book. An Advent something, Sojourn. That's what it was. By Elliot Polash. It's called An Advent Sojourn. It's an ebook. You can buy it for Kindle. That's our sponsor for this week's episode. Find it today.
Awesome. Thanks, Elliot.
Thanks, Dad. All right, Hans. Until next week, when we're celebrating the Packers re-establishing of their dominance over my very much disliked Dallas Cowboys.
Very much disliked, but this season very fearful. This is going to be a hard hitting game.
I hear you. Wow, I look forward to it.
Travis Frederick from the Badgers comes back to Madison.
Ah, that's right. Well,
speaking of the Badgers, I said I got to get this in. I just secured my ticket to the Ohio State game. Badgers hosting.
You did.
I got my ticket. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in the house. I got a big old tailgate. I'm going with my buddy Todd, who got me a ticket. I'm sitting with him and two of his buddies. It is going to be quite the atmosphere. Game day will be in town. Russillo and Cannell will be here Friday night. It's going to be awesome in the best college football town in the country.
Dude, for real, I am proud for you, bro.
Thanks, man.
It is one of my lasting, lifelong favorite memories, game day in Madison, Wisconsin. If you haven't been there, you got to get there.
You got to get
amazing.
There.
It's amazing. You got to get there.
Win or lose on Wisconsin, it's going to be a doozy this week at Camp Randall. So,
that's right.
Man, hey, as always, Chris, good chatting with you.
Ditto. Guys, this was Two Guys in a Garage. I'm Chris out here in Redding, California, saying go Badgers, and that's Hans.
All right, we'll see you guys later.
See ya.